Hey everybody, it's Stu Smith and Jeff Nichols with another Tactical Fitness Report. And today we are going to devote and dedicate this program to our men and women in blue. Are you our people in the police department who are doing protecting our communities every day? And their life is so stressful, not only because of their job, but because of their hours that they operate, and then we don't help them. Our communities tend to not help them very much, especially these days when, you know, everybody's a bad cop. You know, we shouldn't stereotype anybody, you know, but we shouldn't stereotype police officers as well, because, you know, you and I work with a lot of police officers. I work with a lot, Silver Hill locally, and they're just great humans who just want to serve their community.
Yeah.
And so this one is trying to help you deal with not only the stress of the job, but just, you know, workout stress related. Yep. So kind of a overtrain, undertrain recovery conversation. So Jeff,
yeah,
take it
so off. we kind of thought like the genesis with this was, like, you know, Stu kind of touched on it, was like with what's going on in the society right now, the social apprehension, like we'll call it, engagement of the law enforcement and, you know, some of the silliness of it. But the point is this really a conversation is targeted towards a population that we Stu and I as professionals feel like there needs to be regular training for law enforcement, very much to help aid in, not fully, but in part, stress mitigation. Well, many people that train on a daily basis, like law enforcement and military, who we work with, train very intensely, train very, a lot of volume, very well, appropriately for the job. But we're starting to think is like, with this, because, you know, a lot of police departments, you know, talking to guys, like they're on 8-hour shifts or 10-hour shifts, but now they've went to 12-hour shifts a lot of places to limit contact or whatever the reasons are. But my point is oddly enough, we're in a time where law enforcement are now doing, they're being asked to do more with less, even more.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, well, hey Stu, how do we help these guys? And the conversation was like, well, if these guys are going to train every day and they're going to work in a very stressful environment as they currently are, like what conversation can we have to help these guys improve their training and actually how do we allow the training to actually mitigate stress rather than compound it with people that are very good at training hard? You know?
Yeah, that's a really good point, because I see it so many times. You know, I got a couple of guys that I train that are police officers, and they said, you know, they're battling a little bit of a depression right now. I mean, they're really kind of depressed with going into work. You know, and that's just so many other analysts, just part of the stress mitigation factor, you know, that we're talking about. So you got guys that are on edge, you know, and the last time, you know, the last thing you need is to just go crush killer high intensity workouts when you're like that, because that's not going to help you recover from anything. Right. And it's probably going to cause you to make poor decisions on the following days, because you're just not really recovering. You're going to be missing sleep. You know, it just compounds like this big snowball. So my advice is, if you like training hard, great, but balance it out with, you know, making sure your sleep is okay and your nutrition's balanced, you know, in a good way to help you recover, so you can recover from those hard days and those stress days. But you got to add in some easy parasympathetic cool down movements where you're just breathing. It might look like meditation. It might look like a walk and you're just focusing on box breathing. Whatever that is, that will help you kind of wind down from the day, because, you know, the last thing you want to do is have all this pent up energy at the end of the day of being stressed.
Yeah.
You know, if you can wind it down, you know, maybe burn a little bit out of it and then wind it down on the back end, you actually create that natural fight or flight response to deal with those stress hormones that you're dealing with.
Yeah, you create them in a controlled environment. Like, and that's like, if you want to have the argument of why a police officer, first responder, firefighter, whatever you want to call it, should be doing regular training, in my opinion, it's because, you know, the job in itself is stressful enough. Let's just say that blanket. We could say that over and over again. But
100%.
Point is that if we're asking our officers or first responders to react consistently, appropriate to the job, to their uniform, to the badge, in a very high stress environment. Now, when these officers go on a patrol or go to their work, like their stress of the job is like peaks and valleys. It's like pull over, pull someone over, call, respond to a call. It's constant spikes. Okay, so let's just take a look at stress as this very X's and O's thing. Okay,
and that wreaks havoc on you, by the way. Yeah. When it's
spiking,
it's peaking like that. That's hard on you.
It's hard for your body to normalize. And so, why is this? So we shouldn't be asking our police officers are going to be dosed with a lot of stress on a daily basis, especially right now anyway. So that's what I'm saying. We can't change that because we, as a police chief, police captain, I'm still saying we got to go do our job. The stress is still inherently there. Go do it. We can't change that. So what do? We have to change or mold our training to fit that current state of being. Okay. State of stress. And so what we don't want to do, the human organism can only take on so much stress periodically anyway. So the last thing you want to do is dump on more intense stress on top of an already intense job. Now, that people might say, well, Jeff, the job is always intense. Well, yeah, but once you've been in uniform, whether you're military and law enforcement, you can have those conversations with people and you realize that, you know, after a little while, stress is not stress because they get inoculated to it. Right? Yeah. The early stressors in the job typically are not stressing them out 3 or 4 years later. There's probably really other stressors.
Sure.
But just keep this in mind that what we want to do is when we go into the resistance world, we go into the swimming, go in the running, go in the jogging, go in the hiking, go in the rucking, what we want to do is those physical activities need to be long enough in duration to create a positive stress, okay? And then they need to be long enough to where there's a rest period on the back end of it. And then we can talk about box breathing, those sort of things. So you want to create an environment in your weight room and your track and your pool that allows you to create stress, manage stress, create stress, manage stress, create stress. And so, you know, and it varies from person to person. Like it'd be very common to be like, hey, throw on a 30-pound rucksack and go walk for an hour, head down, just go. Like there's enough time to get uncomfortable and deal with those thoughts, but it's not so intense that it may take away from what your focus is in your job. And so it's like, my point is this, am I going to do high intense interval training? Nope. Am I going to do heavy, heavy lifting? Nope. Am I going to do extreme bodybuilding competition and stuff? Nope. I'm going to find this happy medium of these moderate bouts of activity that you like. Like, let's start with that. Let's start with, hey, I know I need to train. My training may even say back day or leg day. It's a head or a long run. You're like, sure. Right. Know that. Go, okay, well, what can I put in its place that's going to give me a little bit longer duration? So in a weight room, that to me, that looks like this. In a weight room, it looks to be almost like a pseudo hypertrophy day, but it's more geared towards skill acquisition as opposed to stressing the muscles out.
Smart. Yeah. Work on some technique.
I want to work on some technique. It becomes a technique day. So now you have decision-making under duress, right? We're making, hey, movement patterns got to be clean. My reps have got to be good. I got to count my reps. I'm going to adhere to rest periods. It becomes a decision-making process under duress. That is what we're asking our officers to do, is always make decisions under duress. So we don't want the weight room to go like, oh my God, this is so taxing. Like, I don't even want to do this. Then you're going to basically take 2 steps back. So it might be in the pool, like get some fins on and do some technique work, right? It might be a rucksack, like I say, where throw your headphones on. Like for some of you, it might just be put on a lightweight vest or nothing at all, headphones, and push mow your yard.
Yeah.
That might be a good substitute for a training session that day. And then that leads right into like, okay, well, Stu already said the most important things. Your sleep has got to be a point of primary focus, not just something you do.
Yeah.
And what you eat also becomes a primary focus as well, because those are the two best ways in the awakened state and then the other state that you're going to improve your state of your stress management. And that's why, you know, you're going to get stressed out the job. Let's get the weight training. Let's get the track work. Let's get the pool work to where it's enjoyable. and also for you guys too, this is the last thing I'll say on this, is like, for those of you that are just intense trainers all the time, they're in law enforcement, first responders, whatever, it's okay to be really stressed out at the job, and it's okay to go to the weight room, the track, and the pool and go, you know what? I'm just going to just, especially if you're competent in the weight room, just go do a little circuit, man. Like, take it easy for a day or two.
It doesn't have to do this every day. You don't have to stop training hard. It's just on those days when, and you know it.
You know whenever
you're super stressed out, either you're pissed off or you've just seen way too much that day, you know, that you're dealing with. You know, those are days where breathing and slowing it down work real well. Something I have done recently, because I got a bunch of young kids that I like working out with them, and I was just kind of burnt out a couple weeks ago. And so what I did was – had this, and if you're like most people who train, you probably have your plan already figured out what you're going to do that week. So I have that. And so started work 5 minutes. I set my timer for 5 minutes. So every 5 minutes when that timer went off, I stopped what I was doing and took a 5 minute break, whether I was walking, stretching, dynamic stretching, foam rolling, whatever it was, I just took a break. And then 5 minutes was over, I got back into the workout.
Yep.
5 minutes over, took a break. 5 minutes over. So I basically cut the workout in half and just added more downtime to it. And as opposed to just, you know, going for 75 minutes straight. And that really made a difference. I did that all week.
Yeah.
Whether it was an upper body day, a lower body day, a long run day. We had a long run day where a bunch of intervals and stuff, but I would do it for 5 minutes. My alarm went off, started walking.
Yep.
Right. Did some stretching, dynamic stretching, you know, and you know, that was a good way of just pulling back a little bit without feeling like you're ditching everything.
Yeah. And you made a conscious choice to do it. So you then are part of the process. So you also are like, well, no, I made a point to do this for a benefit. Right. So keep this in mind. So like on all my lines, like just as a weird example, but it'll make the point is you look at the NFL, like the average time that like, if you're an offensive lineman, right, the average time spent in actual intense activity during an NFL football game for one side, if it's a balanced game, is roughly 7 to 8 minutes. That's it. So during that game, 7 to 8 minutes of intense activity. So now put that in your weight room. Go, okay, in an hour weight room session, how much time am I actually under tension? It should be the minority.
Yeah.
It really should be the minority of your hour. And then that, and so that's the thing too, is like when people are stressed out, what ends up happening is that becomes the majority. Like the workout becomes the majority. And you're like, no, like it actually should be the opposite still. Okay. Like, cause people like I've done it. I've gotten all spun up. I've gotten angry. I've gone to the weight room. I've just thrashed it. And then for the next week and a half, I'm like, my shoulders are killing me.
Everything hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause the inflammation response just doubles.
You can't recover from things that you already aren't recovering from. If you're overtrained, more training isn't the answer, I guess is a real short answer to that. But so just, you know, do you have to walk around the stopwatch and take time? No, it's just to give you a perspective of like, okay, if my time is the minority in a weight room, okay, because I'm doing like you're saying, appropriate rest periods, then that's the plan. That in and of itself, having a good plan going in might be just enough to drop your stress back, because you're like, you know what? Cause like, if you look at CrossFit as a really, really good example is like, What a great thing that if you're going to follow a CrossFit model, if you're that type of person, to just go look up on the website every day and see what the WOD is. It's been done for you. The thinking or whatever you want to call it has been done for you. So for someone that's in a regimented program, just putting a little bit of like, for me, when I get distracted, I do a 30 second on off interval. That's what I do just because it keeps me focused and my mind doesn't get distracted. And if I'm stressed out, I just put a time to it.
Yeah, I got to do that, especially on cardio machines.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm doing like little fast, slow intervals and stuff like that, because I just lose. I lose all interest. You're just like,
yeah.
Lose all interest.
So put a time to it.
I got
it. And that too is like, and if you're really stressed out and you know it, and you're like, I'm not even sure what to do. Like, but just, and you're like, how much time am I typically in the weight room? Just ask yourself that question. Cut a third of it off of time and just be like, that's it. That's all I'm going to do is I'm just going to do 2/3 of my normal time. That's it.
Yeah. That, you know, a slight pullback is all you need, you know? Yeah. And like I said, I'm not talking about this has to be every week, every day, you know,
no.
Just during really stressful periods in your life. And you'll know when it is, cause you're not sleeping well, you're eating like crap, and you just don't feel like training, but you still go anyway, just because it's one of those habits.
You know, it's the right thing to do. Yeah.
But at the same time, it's one of those things that if you overdo it, it's just going to fall in the same direction. Let's hit it on the opposite end of the spectrum, because we know that there are just as many, maybe more, police officers that have to deal with all this stress, and they don't train.
Right. So that's the other side is like, I mean, I think that's the whole argument of all this, especially this timeline, is that there has to be a real understanding that there's a reason why, and I'm literally saying air quotes because it's in there, the physical fitness, the state of physical fitness of our law enforcement, right? Every law enforcement officer in the world, as far as I understand, there is a physical standard to either get into the academy or graduate from it. So in my opinion, because that exists, because it is a necessary point of entry, then it needs to be a mainstay throughout your career. Like, I think that that's an acceptable argument. Now, if it's not, and in most cases it's not, and you have the people that are fairly sedentary in uniform, that's their choice. But to think that right now, especially since there's probably been a lot of law enforcement officers that are kind of, I will say it for lack of a better term, like on a desk job as of like a couple months ago, and now they can't be because the departments are so short manned. Well, now what? It's an interesting thing to where I can't imagine a profession being disassociated from it for a little while, you know, a year or two or three years, like the academy setting, and then have to go back to this, like this current 2020 August.
Right.
That would be extremely difficult, I would imagine.
That's very challenging. And, you know, what happens too is a deconditioned officer will escalate things quicker when they could probably be dealt with on a lower level. You know, so there's a decision process that gets interrupted sometimes because of your lack of training or lack of physical abilities because you've been somewhat sedentary. So for those guys that are trying to deal with all these new stresses that are around them and the old stresses of the job, you got a life, you got kids, you know, you got everything else that everybody else has for stress.
Yeah.
What would you say for the guy that just needs to get back into it and just do something at the end of that work day?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it comes down to this, is because if everyone enjoyed training, we wouldn't have this conversation.
Right. Yeah.
So I think that's the first thing is like, we understand, like Catherine and I had a conversation last night. It's like, I'm 43 years old. It's like, man, what do we do? What challenge can we, physical challenge can we take on to get motivated again, to feel like we're focused? Because I feel it too all the time. So I understand the shoes, in a sense, that someone that might have been, they've gotten away from training for a couple of years, let's say 5 years, and put on some weight.
Just an accident. You know,
right. Life.
Yeah.
Life happens, and I get that, especially in law enforcement. So my first thing is like, ask yourself, is there something I would particularly enjoy? Could be anything. Like, and that's the beauty of starting. The beauty of starting training could be just as something as like, going next door to your local elementary school and shooting hoops. Like, I mean, realistically, like I'm being legitimate. I'm being literal here.
It could be yard work, you know, you name it.
Mother, I could just literally, we say go, like the benefit that people, it's weird that how so little value is placed on walking 20 minutes every day or every other day.
Oh, absolutely.
That in and of itself, like here's the thing, and this is where my empathy tends to run its course, is if a person is unwilling, and they're a law enforcement officer, first responder, firefighter, military, whatever you want to call it, like civil servants that are here to serve, if you were unwilling to even be in a relative shape, and that, and all it would take was to walk four times a week for 20 minutes, then I don't think that you deserve the title, the job, the uniform. That's what I feel.
No, I would agree.
Right? It's like, you know, should someone, if they get out of standard, they should have an opportunity to get back in the standard.
Absolutely.
Authentically, not like, hey, in a week, get ready. Like, hey, you got 90 days to really get ready for this. Otherwise, you're going to have to go find a job somewhere else.
Yeah, build some new habits and
so
back into it.
That's the extreme side. So I guess the question is like, first thing, dude, try to find something you're like, even as a kid, like, what do I like to do? Like, if I were to sweat, what would that constitute? Like, what would that be like? What would I do? To shoot baskets, go for a walk, go for a jog, buy a bike, whatever it is, lift weights, doesn't matter. And I think that's, there's so much value in that. It's hard to put a real emotional emphasis on the value of 20 minutes of brisk walking 3 days a week, 4 days a week. Like,
yeah, that I tell you what, that and just quit enough. Drinking sodas will change your life.
Oh man, like
in a year, you drop 40 pounds. Easy.
They're way more, like in 6 months, you would do that probably of like real fat mass.
I've seen a guy who lost 80 pounds by just replacing all his sodas with water, and all he did was walk. Lost 80 pounds in a year.
He had it to lose, obviously.
He's over 300 pounds.
But that doesn't negate the fact of the work.
That's all he did.
And the reality of what is. The human organism, folks, wants to be lean, efficient, effective, tons of endurance, strength, like good thought process, good decision-making under duress. That is how this organism is built. Like we are built to manage stress. The problem is we rely on that stress management too often through human nature, right? Like, oh, I'm resilient enough. I don't need to sleep, you know, 8 hours a night. I've done 5 hours a night for 15 years. Yes. Which is why at 40 years old, you look like you're 60, you know, and I am not throwing stones on a glass house. These are all things that Stu and I have personally experienced to our detriment.
Oh yeah.
Now, have I been 100 pounds overweight at one point? No. But I do understand what hard work is. I do understand what doing, you know, like, oh my God, I've got to do this. This is what I signed up for. This is the job. This is the life. This is what I believe in. So that's why we're not saying the standard for physical exercise is not a numerical standard. It's just compliance.
Yeah. That and being healthy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, your doctors, all your physical numbers are going to tell you, you know, if you're healthy.
Right away. I mean, that's the thing is like, if you just do this for 30 days, right. Replace certain things with water and a macronutrient that you can stomach every day. Like replace some of your sweets with like your favorite fruit for 30 days.
Yeah.
Right. Drink water instead of soda and teas and things that are very heavy. Gatorade, get rid of Gatorade, all that stuff, you know, and just walk for 30 days. I promise you, you will lose more weight than you thought was possible in that activity.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's the scary. And that happens every time. It's like, oh my God, I don't know how I lost. Right. Mitch Aguiar's brother lost 100 pounds 2 years ago. He did fasting. Right. He did like 30-day fast and then he just changed his diet. In like 8 months, he lost 100 pounds.
That's impressive.
Like it's silly. Like it just to go, you know what? I'm tired of this. You know, that's what it like. Whether you're really small and want to get bigger or you're bigger, you want to get small. At some point you go, I'm sick of this. I got to change. And that was what it was for me. I was like, I'm tired of being the smallest human being I know. And so I overly compensated marvelously.
That was funny because when I was younger, I was just a hard gainer, just tried so hard to gain weight. And then when I got older, I'm like, I'm an easy gainer. Now I lose weight.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now I'm like, I feel like I'm in my wheelhouse. I'm like, oh, I can make a decision, go either way a little bit. Right. But, you know, I think, and here's the thing is, Stu and I aren't so remote. We're not naive to this, folks. We're not. Mm-hmm. What we're trying to honestly do is give you guys opportunity right? Give you options, realize that the simplest of option is probably your best. And just as it's the most valuable, walking, drink water, focus on your sleep, and you will all, even if you are fit, we'll call it air quotes, fit, like Stu and I hate to say that, but like I did two walks yesterday. We did two walks, right? Because even training and working and being on my feet and things like that, it's like, man, just walking. I don't sit when my back hurts. I walk.
Yeah. Right? It clears your head too.
You bet. I
mean, that's the thing. You got to clear your head because your stress hormones
especially are. Especially in the jobs that you guys are doing. Like you owe it to that, the self-love and compassion for yourself. You have deserved these 5-minute breaks.
Yeah. Take those 5-minute breaks. And, you know, it helps with your family life when you come home. You can disengage a little bit. Let me show you something that I made, and we'll wrap this up. But I made this in about 5 minutes before Jeff and I started talking. This is my scale, right? When I talk about everything has to be in balance. You know, it doesn't matter if you're very fit or you're not fit, you're trying to gain weight, you're trying to lose weight, whatever that is, this has to be in balance. Your work, your life, your training, everything that causes you stress on one side, and then everything else that helps you relieve that stress, your sleep and nutrition are number one and number two. And then I put recovery tools in there as, you know, you can throw in supplements and that could be nutrition too, but you know, there's all types of massage tools and things like that that can help you remove aches and pains and, you know, inflammation and stuff like that. But everything has to be in balance for it just to work at it optimally.
And that's what we're trying to say is exactly that is the simplest, but right on display is that your training is almost separate. Like at times can feel like it's separate. Like, well, my training isn't exactly my work life, right? It's not, training's not my life. Well, when you're wearing a uniform, it kind of is. Like when you're an accountant, and there's different, you know, different examples we could use for like an accountant, okay, for lack of a better term. An accountant isn't necessarily lumping in their state of readiness is not being correlated to their job skills or their requirements or their achievements. That is exactly why the physical state is so important for our law enforcement military, is because their physical state is directly correlated to their job, right? Their achievement and their success in that uniform, directly correlated to it. Now, is health directly correlated to all these, you know, the accountants, the lot of them? Yes.
Sure.
Yeah. But we are only talking about first responders right now. Okay, in our military. So yes, your physical state of readiness is your life. Because
when you're somebody else's
when you're
life.
Off duty. Right, exactly. Because when you're off duty, then what?
Yeah, it's somebody else's life too. I mean, it's somebody you're trying to help. It could be your partner that needs your fitness level of some sort, whether it's a element of strength or endurance or whatever, your speed and agility, all of those things, you know, come into play to help you perform in whatever dangerous situation, you know, that you're in. So that's what tactical fitness is.
It's a life. That's why they call it a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Right? And oddly enough, it is, you know, and I think that's why a lot of people, you know, they love the job because it's a lifestyle that they love. And so we're trying to help you guys find out how to love it better.
And it's serving, you know, and sometimes, you know, I know there's a lot of stuff going on right now, but just know that there are people who appreciate what you do every day and are here to answer questions. And if you got them, please send them our way. You know, happy to help you resolve whatever issues you're having, you know, that's in our wheelhouse.
Yeah.
And, you know, be able to help you move forward and just be healthier, you know, with the stresses of the job, because it's immense. And, you know, I appreciate whatever one of you guys do, you know, to keep our community safe. So thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Like, I think that, I mean, that's why we do what we do, right? I think that as long as we're and I think that that's the point. We're here to educate as best we can in our groove. We're not trying to tell you how to police your neighborhoods. We're not trying to tell you what policies should be adhered to in your police department. That's the beauty of what we do, Stu and I. Our only, we have other concerns, but in lieu of this job, our profession, we know that we provide a service. That's all we're trying to do, regardless of politics and policy. We're here to help you guys get physically ready to handle the job that we know is incredibly difficult.
Yes, absolutely. So, Jeff, thanks so much for your time. You guys have questions. Jeff's website is performancefirstus.com. And I'll put the link to Jeff in the description below. StuSmithFitness.com for me. Happy to answer questions. You guys have them. And, you know, in a nutshell, basically, just listen to your body, right? Mm-hmm. And don't necessarily listen to your head, because sometimes, you know, your head will tell you not to work out when you should, and it will tell you to work out like crazy when you probably shouldn't. So just listen to your body. If it's feeling like it needs to do something, get out there and do something, you know, or if it needs to pull back on the reins a little bit to de-stress a little bit, do that. So there you go. So listen to yourself. Listen to yourself, to your body, that is, not your head.
You are not your thoughts, right? Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, we'll do it again, Stu. We'll find, guys, if you have questions or a topic even, if you think, hey, this might be a great topic to help not just yourself but others, send it Stu and I's way, and we'll take a look at it.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
You betcha. We'll do it again.
We'll see you guys.
Later.
All right. We're still recording.